This is Independent Librarian Dynamics, Sean Kennedy the 6th. This is episode number 732.653.663.398.36.5. This is a pirate radio broadcast coming to you from sometime after now. The deep wastelands, far beyond the realm of the Styx. If you can hear this, and if it has come to pass already, you should be aware that by listening to this, you're violating your listener's license agreement. But it is vitally important that you do listen to what I have to say. So light your candles, and may Cerber protect us all. You know, sometimes, even here in the after now, things happen that just go beyond. You'll have to excuse me if I seem a bit gone. Right now, I've had a pretty interesting evening of it. Got a little bit of time before the sun comes up. There's still no sign of Carcass, well past the sticks, and this rad cam seems to be working pretty good. The Watchers never returned, so I gathered I was free to go. I had marched for the better part of the day because I wanted to put some distance between me and the sticks. And the sun was pretty brutal, as it always is, even through the mask and my sunscreen. I could feel it burning on me, tearing down, beating. I wonder sometime if the sun hates us. I wonder if the only thing that's kept us from being destroyed is that precious thin layer of ozone that we so carelessly burned away. I'd walked through the desert through the day. I mean, there's silence, only the wind. And it was around nightfall that I heard this explosion. It was close. It sounded like an incendiary mine. Military munition left out here by God knows who. Who'd plant a mine? Why would anyone do that? But one single mine was planted out here. And something had triggered it, so I headed over. And I could see the smoke. Blast crater. There's a body laying 15, 20 feet away from the burning wreckage. It was an incendiary mine. They're a kind of mine that uses essentially a type of a very hot, fast-burning liquid plasma. It was considered a humane mine because anything that it did wound-wise, it carterized so that if it blew off a limb, at least it did you the honor of carterizing the stump. could see there was a soldier there. I recognized him immediately. I mean, he had his barcode on his face, and as I approached, he was lying on his back, and both of his legs had been burned off. Just above the knee, on one leg. And right at the socket of his hip on the other. One single mine. Of course, I didn't know if it was one single mine. I didn't see any signs of the others, but I mean, who knows? I didn't trip over any myself, and I sure didn't, I didn't see anything that suggested even a minefield. This was just some cruel joke. Some cruel thing done by someone who didn't care.
He was fitted desert fashion. He must have been a desert rat running around out here. Maybe he was going to meet me. I have no idea, but I walked up. He was lying on his back, his eyes wide open and staring at the sky, gaping.
I thought he was dead. He didn't have anything that looked very useful. The sun was setting and the sky was starting to turn a color, and the smell of the kerosene incendiary was just still heavy in the air. As I got closer to him, that distinctive burnt smell of pork from his seared limbs filled my nostrils. He was older, probably about 55. At a guess, I mean, I never did ask his true age. But, I mean, his equipment was ancient. It was nothing there even really useful. I was going to turn and walk away when I heard him say, "Hello." I spun back around and he hadn't been killed, of course. Of course not. That'd be too easy if he'd been killed. If he'd been killed, it would have been just sweet and fast. He just would have been gone. But he wasn't. He didn't even turn his head, he just said hello. He knew I was there. I approached, kneeled beside him. I said hello back, and there was a long pause. He said, "I've stepped on an incendiary mine, haven't I?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You don't have any legs." And he said, "I know." He was one of the probably first few batches who they had severed the nerves on. Some of the experimentation they'd done with soldiers, whether they deadened their pain receptors. They were called leper units. It was interesting because on one hand they weren't really slowed down by pain or any type of injury in battle, yet if they injured themselves, they had no way of knowing. He was a leper. And still he laid on his back, staring at the sky. I wondered what was going through his mind. I wondered what would go through your mind, lying on your back, watching the sky turn that amazing shade of purple. With your legs seared off, knowing that during the night you might get scavenged by some desert dweller. Or definitely by the time the sun comes up tomorrow, He'd be dead by noon. Before I had a chance to say anything, he said to me, "What do you think about killing?" And killing is such a strange thing. We sat and we talked about it, and I was so shocked that he said that, he just kind of started a conversation. Me and this half-burnt corpse waiting to die, talking about killing. I told him, I said, "Well, I don't know." And that was when he turned and looked at me and he said, "Don't you think you should? Don't you think you should know?" And I guess he had a point. I killed before. I mean, of course, I had some viewpoints on it. You can't have blood run over your hands from a blade that you've put into someone's guts and watch that light fade in their eyes. You can't do that without thinking about the aspect of killing. What is killing? So I told him what I thought about killing. I said, "Well, killing is a funny thing. It's the great equalizer, you know, killing. See, if you're a killer, you're beyond the reaches of anyone and anything, aren't you? I mean, you could be a lawyer or a doctor, or you could be a magician, musician, a genius, a poet. But if you're a killer, you're above and beyond that, aren't you? You live outside of everyone's laws. You're like a natural event. You're a killer. You kill. That's what you do. That's all you can do, is you kill. Killers kill. I never wanted to be a killer. After my wife died, I went mad for a spell. That's when I did most of my killing. I hear the screams from time to time. Shooting my body full of any drug I could find, and finding different ways to seek confrontation. Take my self-loathing out on anyone who happened to cross my path. Desperate, poor folks who suffered similar losses were all too willing to take lives into their own hands. So I took their lives with mine. I told him that I thought killing was inevitable. And he said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "It's funny, isn't it? When we kill, humans kill. And when we think about it, it seems like a natural order of things, doesn't it? The universe is created in a bang, a destructive explosion, thrusting out. And plants stick their roots in the soil and drain nutrients from them, sucking the very life from the dirt. And then an animal will come along and shear the top of the plant off, grinding it with its teeth, swallowing it whole, and having its body in acids digest it, burn it, suck the nutrients from it. And then a larger animal comes by with long talons, swoops down and spears this creature, ripping its flesh with beaks, tearing it open, spilling its entrails, eating, swallowing. This process is repeated until finally the predator
the dominant predator, succumbs to microbes, things you'd find in the dirt, and falls. The rot comes in, and the maggots and the worms, and they eat this corpse. Everything's death. There can be no birth without blood. So the question is not, is killing bad, or what is killing? The question is, what is the concept of not killing? When he said this, I was forced to think about it. I mean, he was right. Everything in nature kills. Killing is the natural order. There's always killing. Predators and prey. Dominant species fighting, slashing. Bloodlust. So, where did this notion of not killing come from? Is that civilization? No, I don't think so. Civilization was just a different category of murder. Civilization's just a patted down, buttoned and lie. It's a set of rules where we secretly harbor our desires to feel another's blood. It's the taboo we do not cross. Yet secretly, we all have those who we want to squeeze the very life from them. We've all got those few we've come across who've even looked at us and we've thought, I'll kill you. But we deny these primal instincts. Why? It's a lot easier now, but throughout history. Was it the fear? Was it fear of anarchy that we decided that killing was bad? No, I don't think so. Where did this notion of not killing come from? Killing is bad. I think perhaps that is what separates us. The few of us. I've killed so many now that I can't possibly hope to claim any kind of absolution or forgiveness or salvation. I don't have enough medication to feel that someone could wash away my sins with blood. Flesh may not be worth anything, but it's all I've got. What about those who never did kill? What about them? Those folks who would avoid harm. Buddhists used to be like that. That was before Gen X bought Buddhism, but the original Buddhism was based upon the concept that all life was sacred, no matter how big or small. And then the concepts of consciousness and the Christian soul and all that. Science taught us that there was no soul, it was just synaptic energy. And yet, I wondered that since energy couldn't be created or destroyed, if I, well, killed and ate something, did I eat their soul? If I caught a mouse and ate it, did I eat that mouse's soul? And in essence, am I now part mouse? You are what you eat? We don't like to think about our food as killing, killing, killing. The scrap bags we buy, we know what the scrap bags are made of. We know exactly what the scrap bags are made of. But we won't admit it. It's made of consumables. Consumables for consumers. Scrap bags are the final joke. Scrap bags are the last way of letting us know that, in fact, we are our brother's keeper. Bags of scrap. My own little pound of flesh. We don't like to dwell on it. We don't like to even think about it.
But still, this question burned in my mind. Where did we get the notion that killing was bad?
Nature didn't teach us that. Nature doesn't care. The sun doesn't care, I promise you that. Right now, on the other side of this planet, it's killing everything it sees. Large burning eye tearing down. Hating everything in its sight, and everything in its sight hating something else, stalking, hunting, wanting to kill. So why is killing bad? We've given up on gods. We've given up on all the possible reasons that kept our civilization going. And as I sat there and looked down at this burnt soldier's corpse, his gaping, numb eyes looking at me, I wondered, why is killing bad? Where did we get that idea from? So, then, is killing bad? Is killing a bad thing? Because, well, if there's no rules, if there's no guide for that, why not kill? Everything else kills. Some would argue, well, they kill for desire. They need things, so they kill. Well, we all need things. That's why we kill. We need women, so we kill their lover. We need food, so we kill the animals. Any we can find. We need goods, so we kill the vendor. We want vengeance, so we kill our enemies. We kill and kill and kill and kill. Oh, we have others do the killing for us. Butchers. We'll go and slit the throats of the screaming calf. And let it bleed so that it comes across being more sacred to us. Is killing bad? His voice repeated the question to me again. A child's question. Is killing bad? I don't know how much time he had. I wished he'd die, staring at me there, but he just blinked, waiting for my answer. I knew then that me and him were locked. Before he could leave, I had to tell him whether or not killing was bad, and I had to prove it. Don't ask me why, but I just knew that was the case. I knew that's what I had to do. After all, I'm a librarian. I share knowledge, don't I? There are so many books, so many things that try to tell us whether or not killing is bad. So many reasons that they give us, but they're just excuses. They're not reasons. Justification for the cruel, so they might sleep. To answer the question, There's so many things you have to think of. What is killing? Killing is destroying life. Taking life. Cutting it. Ripping it. Crushing it. Feeling it drift away like so much dust. If killing is ending life, then the question here is, what is the value of life? Does life have value? And if so, then how do you determine that value? Is a cow more valuable than me? Are you more valuable than me? No. Value can't be the answer. There's no way to calculate that. No little box to measure our worth in. Not unless you live in the arcologies. Then they can give you a dollar and cent figure for what you're worth. And then, of course, we have what the burn booths will give us. $1.47 worth of trace chemicals mixed in with water. What is the value of life? What does life do? Uses things. In order for life to exist, there must be death. In order to live, we must kill and destroy. We must eat plants, consume other organics. By the very act of living, we must consume, making us, however small a scale, serial killers. Yet we deny it, we hide it, we don't like to think about it. Somehow, if everyone does it, it's okay. Somehow, if everyone stabs a baby, somehow stabbing babies becomes accepted. And we look at each other with large doe eyes and say, well, you know how it is. And we'll laugh heartily and say, yeah, don't I ever. We do that with anything. The value of life. Then, we must ask the question, how do we place value? Life, after I thought about it for a while, the absence of life is ugly. The burnt, charred landscapes of death, of which I've seen far, far too many. The absence of life is hideous. Therefore, life is attractive. Life, living things, be them maggots eating the flesh, or birds in flight, life itself is actually a beautiful thing. It has beauty, albeit transient, but it is beautiful. It is a blossom of a flower. So life has value because of beauty. After I determined this, I looked down at my scarred friend and I said, life is beautiful. And he said, how do you know what beautiful is? And this, then, of course, threw me into another spiraling question. What is beautiful? How do you define beautiful? Maybe some would consider burnt things lovely. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, after all. Maybe the act of murder, maybe the act of killing, could be beautiful. Maybe the spray pattern of blood as it arcs through the air would cast a sheen that could be marvelous. To some, it is beautiful. There's all manner of killers who've decorated themselves with the parts of their victims. All manner of what we consider to be psychopaths who paint the walls with the flesh of the fallen. Life is beautiful, but that does not necessarily mean that death is not. So death has beauty too. Nope. That's not the answer. I scowled. And again he asked the question, is killing bad? I hated him for it. I had to sit there. I couldn't just stand up and walk away. I'm a librarian. I had to find the answer for this childlike question, is killing bad? But I couldn't really hand this killer himself. I couldn't hand him the bad answers. I couldn't just say, yes, it's bad. Of course it's bad. Why? Why is killing bad? Why is killing bad? And what, for that matter, is bad? Bad? The border of good and evil? Where are those definitions coming from? Oh, I wish I had taken my medication and read my holy book. It'd be so easy to define it then, wouldn't it? Just say, well, God told me, my God, your God, everyone's God, God. Yeah, hallelujah. I couldn't hide behind some weak excuse about my personal belief structure. Well, that's just what I believe. No. Such an answer wouldn't satisfy. Is killing bad? Is killing bad? Killing what? All killing, my killing, your killing. Too much killing. Is it bad because we decide it's bad? Is this morality by majority? If we decide it's bad and we both agree, we just declare it to be law. Is that how it works? It's okay to kill the enemy because they're enemy. Well, what if I just kill my enemies in everyday life? That's different. No, not really. We're all our own nations. We're all our own governments. We are all sovereign to our own bodies. What if we just declare war on others? Destroy them. The truth of the matter is that we every day kill or are part of killing another living thing. I realized this and I thought about it. The question is not, the question is not whether or not killing is bad. The question really is, are we bad? Is life bad? Life can't exist without killing, without murder. Something has to be consumed so another thing can be created. I thought about this and I thought, if killing is needed to be productive, if we must destroy to create, killing wouldn't be bad so much. So I looked down at the burned soldier and I said, killing is unfortunate. I said it was a inevitable mean that things had to be destroyed so that other things could be created. We have to eat. We have to consume to grow. Children need to grow. So children are part of killing more than anything else. Killing is unfortunate. And he looked at me and he smiled. And he said, what about me? What about this mine here? What has been created? What's created from my limbs scorched and torn and thrown into the deep sands? What is the creation here? What thing has been made? Of course, I had no answer for him. I had no explanation of beauty. I had nothing positive to come from this incendiary mind destroying him. And still the question remained, is killing bad? Is what happened to this soldier bad? My brain began to hurt. So I said, killing is inevitable. All things must die.
And the soldier on the ground, he shook his head back and forth. And he said, no, you're wrong. Killing is not inevitable.
He turned his head and he looked at me and he fixed me with steel eyes. He was looking through me, through time and through space. And he said, life and death is a cycle. It is dependent upon one another. It has an order and a way that you and I are not gifted to understand. Life and death happen according to a will, a rhyme, a reason. It happens every day, everywhere in the entire universe, and it cannot be avoided. But that is not killing. That is the natural order of things. My question was, is killing bad? Killing is the interruption of the natural order of things. We kill. We are the cause of death. We are the only beings that have given up the natural order. And I said, "That's not so. I mean, not everyone's a soldier." He fixed me in a steely glare and said, "I was dispatched once with my section to interrogate a village who had information, or so we were told. We went to this village, and the people there, the settlement, they were mostly just women and children. A few old men here and there. We began to torture them, and the torture became very extreme. We flayed their flesh, we stripped the very meat from their bones. And when that didn't work, we made them watch as we stripped the meat from the bones of the ones they cared about. Cutting them. Burning them. Beating them. By the time we were done, there was only a handful left. And they'd gone mad from grief. Deep shock. Nothing was gained. We learned nothing. And all of us were awash in the blood of the innocents. And I looked at him and I said, "You're a soldier. This is what you do. Killing is your trade." And he said, "No. What we did in that village that day was evil. It was bad. Killing is bad." I thought about this for a while. And I had no answers. He could see I was perplexed. He could see that nothing was making sense. He said, "Killing is bad, but we don't like to accept that because we do it every single day." And I said, "Well, if that's the case, then we're all guilty. We're all just evil creatures. Every human living thing." He said, "Not every living thing. Just us humans. Nothing in nature kills. They use to create. Killing is a human concept. It's something that only we do." He was right, of course. Realizing this, I looked at him and I said, "Is there any way that maybe we can live without killing? Is there any way we can live in peace? Without the evil?" Choking, he laughed. And he said, "You still don't understand. We as humans are not evil because of the things we do. Humans do the things that we do because we are evil." Again, I sat and thought about this. I thought for a long time, and I couldn't argue with his logic. Humans are the only things that truly kill. We've always killed. We can't stop killing. There was no answers. There's only questions. We are always seeking them. But if we were to just accept that we're evil, that we're creatures of destruction, that the universe would be a better place without us, perhaps we would understand. I look back down to him and I could see he was gone. His eyes wide and laughing, mocking me in the realization of my own disgusting truth. So it was then that I took out my recorder and I began this transmission. And as I sit here now, his eyes are still locked onto me. As I send our conversation into the past. I don't have any answers. Perhaps I don't even know why I wanted to tell you about this. With any luck, I'll forget it. With any luck, I'll just be able to carry on and look for more data. But right now, the truth is that maybe we are evil. Perhaps this burnt world that we inhabit is just the universe righting the wrong that was our creation. Maybe we deserve it. But even the demons have a right to try to survive. We, the great devils of the universe, strive to survive. This is Independent Librarian Dynamic, Sean Kennedy VI. Broadcasting to you from beside a burnt corpse of the most honest man I've ever met. Please, please help me.